Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today, I'm joined by Ben Ard, who is the co-founder and CEO of Masset. And I'm incredibly excited because we're going to talk through how to create content for an account-based program that actually gets used. So Ben, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, excited to be here. This is going to be fun.
Heck yeah. So I mean, first and most pressing question, because I've talked to so many people that have building account-based programs. They're like, yeah, we should personalize one-to-one landing pages and then figure out how to scale that. And then what ends up happening is people create all of this content and then nobody uses it. So that's the main thing I want to figure out how to solve today is one, how do you figure out what content to even create? And then two, how do you get people to use it? So let's start there. When you're actually looking to build an account-based marketing program, how are you helping people and how do you think through actually creating specific content? How do you identify the gaps currently?
Yeah, I love it. And I think it's a great question. And I love the question about personalization because, yeah, everyone says the gold standard should be that every individual that we interact with is going to have this personalized piece of content that was only made for them and they're going to have this golden experience. But you're right. All of a sudden, you try to do that, it doesn't scale, nobody looks at it, and it doesn't really move the needle. What I think is more important than personalization is actually relevancy. And so when you're looking at it, what are the actual questions that these individuals have? And let's answer those questions. And what's really funny, I come from the marketing side of things. I've been marketing my whole career. And in the last job before I started this company, what I saw is we had this amazing sales team who knew exactly what people were asking, but we weren't really tapped into those answers. We weren't really getting that information on the marketing side. And once we started to get some of those answers from them, we were able to create content that answered actual questions. But then the next piece becomes, because I'm willing to bet most people listening to this podcast have really good content. The issue comes when people are looking for that content to be able to share and disseminate that. Now, obviously, selfishly, we have a system that helps businesses do that. That's kind of our MO as a business. But really, businesses need to centralize content in one place and make it easy for everyone to find and access and organize it not just by the boring subjects and the things like product and industry, yada, yada, yada. Organize it by questions. These are the questions that this content can answer. And if you focus on that, it enables your team to find the content that's answering the questions that their prospects and opportunities are needing to have answered. So that's kind of how I look at it, relevancy over the idea of personalization.
I couldn't agree more. And I really love, because I think it makes it way easier. Because when you cohort your accounts, how much more impactful is it if you're hey, company name versus answering specific industry related questions? Sure, that might be extra helpful, but how much more is it? And it adds a ton of workload unless you've got some of these different tools. So it's either way more expensive or it's way more work, unless you're just cohorting your accounts by specific problems in industry. So I love that call out. I'm curious, how are you identifying the content assets that need to be created by these cohorts to then make sure that what we're actually talking about is relevant? Because I've seen plenty of people that are got it. So we're not going to create one-to-one content, but we'll create one-to-few content. And then they're spitballing what needs to be addressed, take a ton of time, energy, and effort, and then it misses. So how are you actually determining what is relevant for these accounts?
So what I would do if I were sitting in a SaaS or B2B business or kind of a company that, I've listened to your content, that ABM is the right playbook, right? It's not perfect for everyone, and you've done in depth about that. So I'm sitting in a business and ABM is what we need to do to expand and grow our business. I would have every single person in that business who touches the customer at any point in time in the journey have one Slack channel, Teams channel, whatever you want. And every single question that you receive from a customer, you need to document that. So if I'm in customer success and someone says, well, how do I do this? How do I renew my account? How do I share this information with the rest of my business? If I'm in sales, well, how does it compare to company ABZ? ABZ, that's a weird one. ABC, XYZ, that kind of an idea. How does it compare? What's your favorite feature sets? What does onboarding look like? Literally document every single one. And if you have that database, that's where you start. That's what you build. And again, this kind of repository of here's the question and here's the answer. And now all of a sudden people will kind of have this workflow in their minds. Not only am I contributing to marketing, knowing what to build, I am also able to search for content based off of the questions I'm getting. And they're going to start getting the right content in the pipeline. That's how I would do it. That's how I would know exactly what content to do. And when you run out of stuff, you won't, but you know, in the theory you might, but when you run out of stuff, then you can move on to other things like the SEO optimized content, what's being searched, what are people asking for in social media. That's where I would start, because you're going to have 1,000 videos or articles just from that right there alone.
It's funny because we actually have a channel in our Slack that's called Ask Me Anything. And then we get frequent customer questions. I'm like, awesome. And I go record a podcast episode and we use that as enablement content for both our sales team and our delivery team. So like, I love that play. I'm curious how you have seen that work in like really large organizations. Cause I'm thinking about people that are like, there's 5,000 employees that work here. Just like, wow, a Slack channel. So is there a way to, I don't know, how have you seen that work at scale?
Yeah, typically your business is going to have the, you know, sales and marketing Slack channel. And typically it's going to be done through example. I mean, you're going to have individuals who are not going to participate in any way, shape, or form. But as long as you kind of, you know, on the administrative side of things, force those people into the channels, get enough people to get buy-in. And then what I would also do is very publicly, because the example is going to train people more than anyone else or anything else, I would publicly say, hey, thanks, sales rep ABC. Thank you so much for this question. Here's a whole video podcast that we just shot to answer this question. And all of a sudden, you're training everyone else in the business to say, wait a minute, I have people asking questions. I want content. Like, how do I sign up for this? And then you're training through behavior that they're able to go through that process and actually get it done. So that's kind of how I would do it.
Well, now I'm even thinking through content that gets used, which was the second half of what we're trying to accomplish today. And one of the things that we talk about often with building an ABM program is co-creating it with sales, because if you co-create it, they're way more likely to actually buy in. And I feel like one of the ways in which you get people to use it is like, you asked for this, like you asked for this content and then we made it. So like, you should probably use that. It's like, that's super helpful. Now, I'm just gonna ask a couple other quick follow-up questions around, you know, as I'm thinking through, is this something that you would like run as a pilot to get people like bought in? Or is it just like, let's dump everybody in the channel, run a couple of examples? Because again, I'm thinking about some of our larger clients that have like literally 100-person sales team, or like a 60-person CS team, and then like a 20 or 30-person marketing team. So we now have a channel with like 300 or 200 people in it. Not 300, that'd be insane, but 200 people in it. So we're just like dumping everybody in there and seeing what comes out? Or again, is it more, hey, we're going to do this thing as an experiment. Let's see who like is interested.
I'm always a believer in experimentation before you roll something out. I think regardless of how good of an experiment you run, you're always going to discover better ways of doing something before you roll it out to the whole company. So there are always going to be those advocates on the sales team that naturally have good relationships with the marketing team. They feel comfortable coming to them. They have built those relationships, things of that nature. Take the top 10% of the marketers who are actually building the content and the top 10% of the sales team who actually wants to participate. Go through this, refine it, get feedback, do things of that nature. And then I would roll it out to people, because from day one, you're going to want to have those advocates inside of the system, whether it's a chat, email thread, whatever it may be, you're going to want to have those advocates. You're going to want to have a sales rep say, hey, I've gotten 5 pieces of content that I use almost every single time I talk to people, and it's made a world of a difference. As soon as they hear a President's Club sales rep say that as an insider tip, you're going to believe that a lot of people are going to jump on board and say, okay, I'm bought in. I'll subscribe to this. And so that's where I would start. I mean, always experiment. And then always start, I mean, with every experiment, and this is a weird aside, that's just who I am. I love experimentation. Define what success looks like before you start the experiment and keep running that experiment until you are quote unquote successful. And until you hit that benchmark, do not launch it to the rest of the company. And I think that that's just a muscle that every marketer should build. And I think this is no exception to that.
So we've talked a lot about how to source content. And the other thing that I love that you even addressed is, I mean, this is a very like they ask you answer type approach, good old Marcus Sheridan. I don't know. Admittedly, this is the approach that we're typically taking, and we're seeing better results than like an SEO first strategy, because it's just like, so what are our customers actually asking? If we answer that, they'll stick around for longer. And then also, we know that if our current customers are asking, our potential best fit customers that look like these people probably ask the same questions. So like, it just seems really intuitive to go that route. I'm curious, because like, for example, we're, again, fairly basic organization over here, but we've got about 150 podcast episodes. So like our team will like ask me questions and they'll be like, hey, do we have anything that covers this? And I'm like, sure do. Like, you know, it's right here. So I'm just curious, like, how have you seen people effectively organize the content in such a way that it's actually able to be easily used and identified? Because especially as you get into more sophisticated organizations, I mean, you've got blogs, white papers, downloadables, video like there's, it's not just like even the content topic, it's like topic plus all these different mediums. So how are you seeing people organize it so that it's actually usable?
Okay. I don't want to pitch our product too much. Like, I feel really terrible making this a sales pitch, but that's the exact problem we've set out to do. So what we've done, and use AI, I mean, this is an incredible resource for it. What we've done is built a repository. You stick all your content, no matter where it lives online. It can be your podcasts, YouTube videos, blog posts, any kind of material, any format. And using natural language, you can say, hey, I've got a prospect asking a question about this. What content can I share? And it can point to that podcast episode where you talked about it in minute 32. It can point to that episode, and all of a sudden the person can start saying, oh, great, I can use this and I can use that. And great, you know, here's a blog post and here's all this cool content. Now I can get the questions answered with the material that we've created. If you don't have a system like that, figure out a good way, again, of, I would folder, let's say you have Google Drive and you're not willing to pay for some kind of a system like ours or something like that. Instead of Google Drive just saying, again, the normal boring folder structure, try organizing it by question and show and train people how to search for the questions that people are asking, and it will have buckets of content underneath the question folders. Now, you're going to have a lot of duplicate content, right? So you're going to say, and use AI, right? So you just do this podcast episode. You get the transcript. I go into ChatGPT and I say, ChatGPT, what are the top questions this content can answer? It kicks those out. Those are now folders. This podcast lives in 8 different folders all of a sudden. And now we're grouping by that. And then if you use AI in some way, shape, or form in your business to say, okay, I got question A, B, and C. Great. Now I've got 18 resources that fit in all these different buckets. I'm off to the races. So I just, in general, I think something that we always neglect, questions are what drive content. Content is just a way of answering a question, whether it's a question you knew you had, or it's a question you were just like randomly searching for. And on TikTok, something showed up and you're like, I never knew I had that question, but now I do. And it answered it for me. So I would start to kind of rethink the organizational side of things. Awesome if you have a tool that kind of does that, all that for you. That's great. But if not, try to play around with different organizational structures based off of question and answer.
Yeah, I really love that. Our sales rep, he's been with us for about 6 weeks. And like in this first 6 weeks, what he started to go binge the entire podcast. And then what he's been doing is actually pulling episodes in by problem and just categorizing, like, this episode answers this problem.
And I think that is a genius way of doing it. So he's got this massive spreadsheet, and then he's just shared it with our team. I was like, this is super smart. And the other thing that we did is we actually made a Mason GPT. And the way we did that is we uploaded all of the content that I've ever written into one GPT. But I hadn't thought about the idea of using that to then like source back reference back. That's super smart. So I love that. And admittedly, I've got a couple team members that are like kind of AI nerds. I say that lovingly. I, on the other hand, am not. But they've already started to pull together some things around like how do you integrate so that it's kind of all automated based on the GPT that you're using, which is super helpful. So if you're listening to this episode, we're not going to give you all the answers, not because we don't want to, but for time constraints of being hopefully a helpful episode. But I mean, it sounds like there's probably a bunch of YouTube tutorials on just like how to map out some of these things. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're just going to want to play like any AI tool. You're going to want to play with it, and everything you've learned will change the next week anyways. So by the time this records and gets published, it's going to be out of date. I mean, Gemini just came out with a new system that has a ton of tokens. So today that might be the best resource for something like this, but tomorrow it's going to be something else. And so it's kind of hard to specify exact tools and things like that.
Very cool. Also a little bit sad that everything changes on a weekend basis. I've nailed a couple of things with AI, and I was trying to advise people on things that I had done like a year and a half ago. They're like, oh, that's so out of date. I was like, awesome. So anyway, it just changes so quick. All right. Big couple of takeaways that I'm pulling out from this. One, creating a shared Slack channel within specific teams so that they can just source questions that we're hearing from the customer. That alone is likely an easy way to create the right content and also content that will get used because you're just directly answering what people are asking for. And then second thing is categorizing content by questions or problems. And then three is leveraging some kind of AI tooling to effectively ingest all of the content and then categorize it in such a way that it's easy to access. And you've also got a shared kind of Q&A thing where you can literally ask and say like, hey, I got this question from this person. Like, do we have any content that already addresses this? And they can just serve up the content assets that actually address that thing. So those are kind of the big three takeaways that I'm pulling from this and also buy an asset. So there's that, but you didn't make the pitch. I did for you. Ben, anything else that we should talk through while we're here?
So the one other thing I would say is when you're trying to create the content, AI and everything like that, we're in this really cool age where some people are hesitant to use AI for content creation because they feel like it'll be, you know, not authentic, it'll be boring, things like that. And if honestly, if you do it wrong, it will be. Like no matter how good AI gets, it will be. But when you have some of these question statements and you say, okay, we're going to build content around this, start going back to the person who asked the question and say, hey, how would you answer this question? Or do you know of anyone in the company that can answer this really well? Get on a video recording that has a transcript and just interview them for a couple minutes. And then all of a sudden you've got great source material, potentially a video that you can shoot. And all of a sudden you are outsourcing content creation to a lot of different viewpoints. I know in all the businesses I've been at, some sales reps were incredible storytellers. Yeah. And they could answer certain questions and they had this really in-depth experience. If you could multiply that experience and give that to everyone every single time that question was being asked, the ability to sell would be incredible. So harness those experiences and then use the transcript, make it into written content, do those kinds of things. I mean, with AI, video editing is easier than ever before.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the one thing is don't just say, okay, now I got to go and have one person on my team answer all these questions and all that kind of stuff. Go back to the rest of the organization and get the answers from them and have everyone participate in the content creation. That would kind of be like the last circling the loop and also getting the buy-in. For sure, someone's going to use content if they filmed it. And if other people are asking those questions, like that person's going to drop in and say, hey, marketing helped me create this really cool video actually for that question. And they're like, oh, sweet. Like I can trust this because it's from my team lead or whoever it may be.
Yep.
I would say that's the last component there.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Ben, thank you so much for joining me on the show today and kind of talking through some ways that we can create the right assets that are helpful for our account-based programs and actually get them used. If you want to find out more about you, where would you point them?
Yeah, go ahead and sync up with me on LinkedIn, Benjamin Ard, A-R-D. Would love to connect there. And, you know, if you have any questions and stuff like that, would love to, you know, nerd out about anything about marketing and ABM.
I love it. Well, again, Ben, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we will see you in the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.